Hey everybody, and welcome to your Thursday, October 3rd JumpCast, the only manga podcast that is not shut down despite Greg's best efforts. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Robin Van Gilder.
Hello!
End of the manga.
Greg is in the Autorandex, I think.
What?
I don't know. I assume he's somewhere.
Oh, okay. I thought you were Autorandex. Serious. I was like...
I actually don't know where he is. He just, like, Mike told me, hey, Greg's not coming. It's like, okay.
Yeah, he tried to get in touch with you, but you were, I don't know.
Away.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, preoccupied.
He's off in some sort of underground card game or something.
Yep.
I thought you were going to underground fight club, which I also would have believed.
Well, you know, you don't... What's
I was
the
winning
rule?
The youth of drunks.
Come on, Mike. What's the first rule of fight club?
No smoking indoors. I mean, that's just rude to everybody.
I mean, okay, yeah, but what's the second rule of fight club?
Bring your own beer. And also, like, donate if you need to take one.
Well, okay, yeah, but what's, like, the fourth rule of Fight Club?
Tuesdays are taco night?
No.
Yeah, that fourth rule was awesome.
They call them Taco Tuesdays. Do we have any house cleaning?
Greg usually does that, so I have no idea.
There's a one-shot this week. Haikyuu got the cover.
There's a new One Punch Man. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
I'll read it.
Yeah, and it's finally like one that I've read the original one of, so I can appreciate the difference in art.
Oh, I haven't checked out the original at all.
And I should show you the comparison, because, you know, it's like basically nothing but character portraits this week.
Yeah.
Like, you know how that girl looks, like, when she gets all, like, super deformed?
Oh, yeah?
Imagine that, but, like, drawn by a child. And that's kind of how the... Like, about the level of the original one.
Wow.
Yeah, also that the kid from Hunter x Hunter is in the new Jump game.
Gone?
I guess. The kid in green with Vegeta hair.
Gone?
Yeah.
Sure. I've never read Hunter x Hunter, nor have I ever had any interest to.
Apparently it's really popular.
Yeah.
It's, like, good, but then he, like, the author got incredibly sick and just stopped.
Incredibly sick on money.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Actually, he might actually be really sick. I don't know.
He is. I don't know.
Yeah. Puts out a chapter like once or twice a year, and it's like super sketchy.
Yeah, and everyone just waits for the tankobons anyway, so were the arts fixed?
Yeah. By his wife.
I'm busy getting comparison shots of One Punch Man.
Oh.
So while you're doing that, I was at an anime convention last week.
I found him. I'm going to interrupt you.
Oh. Okay.
To give you a glimpse of, like...
That looks
oh,
more
wow.
similar than I would have thought, but also really, really different.
Let me show you one more.
Also, apparently Mennonite is in this manga now.
Yeah,
sure.
He is.
Murata does really good things with this manga.
Yeah, if you, like, just reading the originals, you get, like, even just the framing and stuff. It's not just, like, better-looking characters.
Yeah.
Wow. And, like,
if I were bald, I would totally go as Saitama to an anime convention.
Wouldn't be too hard to pull off.
Yeah.
Bald, cape, bodysuit.
Yeah, pajamas, gloves.
Yep. That's about it.
Grocery basket. Okay, so you went to an anime convention.
I did. It's kind of a bummer. Like,
yeah, it didn't sound like you went to a great one.
Yeah.
It was Anime Week in Atlanta, which is, I mean, I used to love that thing when I was in high school.
Mm.
Like, that was basically Christmas. Like, you go there and you're with all your friends all weekend and you're spending tons of money in a dealer's room. But now that I'm, like, 27, I go in there, it's like, wow, this costs a lot of money, and why is all this anime merchandise really expensive? And also, I don't like anime.
You stare at the $80 Samus Figma and just go, like, that's a lot of money, but that's pretty cool looking.
Well, I mean, I was looking at, like, these Persona 4 things for the longest time. I was like, I could get this, but also, it's a lot of money, and where would I put it?
You'd have to stick it in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah. So long story short, I bought one.
Said you bought a Chie statue.
Yeah. Good it's choice. Just sitting on my TV stand now. I don't even know what the point. Now it looks like I had this weird obsession with Chie, because it's like, it's on my TV stand next to my Chie arcade stick. Which are just, those things are separated by years at a time.
Yeah. But... You do have a weird obsession with Chie, though, right?
I mean, yeah, but this looks like I have a weird obsession.
Yeah, but now people can tell.
Yeah.
And I, last time I was an anime thing, I bought one of those, like, blind packs of Persona 4 figures. And, I was like, oh man, like, I'd want like 90% of these characters. There's only like one dude I don't want, and I got the dude I didn't want. what's his name? Young Detective.
Adachi.
Adachi, yeah.
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 The brother from Naruto.
It was like all the principal characters and him, and it was like, oh, I love all the characters.
I went through that whole group with just 99% Adachi and like one Yukiko. Mm-hmm.
There's like one Teddy in the whole box.
Yeah.
So while I was there, I decided to interview a bunch of cosplayers. And I basically just asked them, like, who are you cosplaying and why? And I got different answers. So we're going to go in order of the people I actually interviewed. And the first one was, like, this really nice girl who is cosplaying as Isabel, the dog from Animal Crossing.
Huh. Yeah.
So let's listen to that.
Okay.
All right.
All right, let's start with your name.
My name is Adriana Figueroa.
Okay, and you're dressed as?
I'm dressed as Isabel from Animal Crossing, everyone's favorite dog secretary.
You know, I found out the other day that, like, she's called Isabel because she looks kind of like a bag of bells.
Yeah, she does. She's literally a money dog. Her head is like a bag of bells, and her bells jingle.
Yeah. One of my friends is, the co-host of the podcast, is, like, obsessed with Isabel. Like,
yeah.
He's like, well, she's kind of dangerously adorable.
She is. She could be plotting your death.
So why'd you decide to dress as her?
Well, Animal Crossing was kind of my summer obsession. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time with Isabel, so I figured I might as well. I knew her pretty well, you know, might as well pay a tribute to that. So, yeah.
So why come to this con? Like, is there a reason that you...
I guess I'm a regular of this con. I've been like the past 3 or 4 years to this point. And so I come for the friends, come for the cosplay.
Right.
It's a good atmosphere. It's one of my favorites. I've been to a couple, but this one's my favorite.
So why cosplay?
I don't know. It's just fun. It's fun to be able to express your love for a character or a series by becoming that character. You know, there's no other way to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Yeah. So that girl was like super excited to be there.
Yeah.
Like. That's the kind of person, like, you go there, that's encouraging to see, because that person is not bummed out by this anime convention.
You're just old and jaded.
Yeah, I think so.
This is like the world holding a mirror up to you.
But, you know, she said that she goes there because she cosplays because it's fun.
Yeah.
That's the main refrain I heard from everybody else, is like, I cosplay because you're not going to be able to do that anywhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done it once, it was pretty fun.
Yeah, you were that Homestuck character, right?
That was that one time. That barely qualifies.
I saw that costume on everyone.
It's a shirt and sunglasses.
Yep.
No, I cosplayed as the Temporal Wizard from Kid Icarus.
Oh, yeah.
That's Coruscant last year. I remember
that. That was an elaborate costume.
Mm-hmm. People kept calling me, like, a fish wizard.
All right, so the second person I talked to was... Okay, so I didn't even, like, ask this person... I walked up to someone completely different, and they kind of rushed in to give their own reference to what they're talking about. So this girl dressed as Kakuza from Naruto came in, so we'll listen to her next.
Kakuzu?
She said Kakuza.
Huh. Okay.
Alright, so what are you cosplaying as?
I'm cosplaying as Kakuzu from the Kakuzu, and that actually have a huge underground fandom. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves the Kakuzu, and I also, if I had my heat on here, we'd be doing shipping.
Right.
With, like, and then we have the whole Kakuzu here, we'd be doing shipping. Like, Itachi, Kusame, Hidon, Kakuzu, Deidara, Sasori, Tobi, Setsu, all that, and it's just crazy. Once you get a lot of Kakuzu there, everybody's just, like, flipping out and being awesome.
So, do you not feel weird kind of cosplaying as a character that's not really in the manga that much anymore?
No, I don't feel weird at all. still, everybody loves Kakuzu because once you recognize who I am, you just come up and hug me.
So it's a more personal cosplay than it is like, you know, trying to represent what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Right. So how'd you get in the series?
I was really, really little, like maybe 8 years old when I started watching.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept on going through the series as I got older. And so now I'm just like everywhere in Shippuden.
Okay.
Awesome, thanks.
So that guy make you feel like super old?
Yeah.
I was in high school when the anime started.
Yeah.
And that probably makes
me feel
super old. Yep.
I always like when like long dead, barely in the manga characters like get cosplayed as.
Yeah. Well
to
she
be fair,
was
Kakuzu is pretty awesome.
She was.
Also she was really into the shipping aspect of that.
You mean Hidan X Kakuzu?
Well, her description was basically everyone in the Akatsuki X everyone, which is not that outlandish.
Yeah, honestly.
I mean, like, most of them are, like, asexual monsters, so they're probably down for whatever.
Well, they're either asexual monsters or boy-hungry pedophiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are actual boys, so that works out.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of, the next person I talked to, the person I was talking to originally before the Kakuzu came in, is a guy in full masked Obito costume.
Oh, wow.
All right, so who are you cosplaying as?
I'm cosplaying as Toby / Obito.
Okay, and so how'd you get into Naruto in the first place?
Just a group of us high schoolers started watching it. It's the next best thing to Dragon Ball Z. I love Dragon Ball Z, so just jumped into Naruto right on.
So notice you're the masked Obito. Do you like him better than the current Obito, like the Sage Obito?
I kind of like Sage Obito a little better, but, you know, masked Obito. It was funny, but Sage Obito's getting to business and getting put into work.
All right, so why'd you decide to cosplay in general?
It's fun to meet new people, chance to express yourself, can't dress up at work, so.
That's true. If you went in as Obito, people would ask questions.
Yeah, like if I went in with these Sharingan eyes at work, they would probably just send me home and they're just like, ugh.
So Robin was chastising me during that for spoilers.
He did have
was chastising the guy in the interview. I hope he wasn't wandering around telling people that.
So that's, you say that and that's sort of ironic because the next person I talked to was dressed as Zangetsu. And this guy did not keep up with the manga.
That's
so,
an unfortunate time to be dressing as
Zangetsu. Yeah.
Like, he was telling me that he basically walked in and people were like, Juha Bak! He's like, what?
That related to
Wow.
It was actually kind of funny because when I talked to him, like, when I went up to ask him if I could interview him, he was like, I don't know, I'm not really good at interviews, and once I hit the recorder, he just started talking, so listen to him.
All right, start off with, who are you cosplaying as?
Well, I'm cosplaying as Zangetsu from the Bleach series, and I guess how I got started with it, typically as anybody, maybe with some Dragon Ball Z, people started suggesting stuff in that.
Yeah.
And Bleach is one of the more popular ones, so I hopped right into that, as well as Naruto and stuff. And as soon as I saw Zangetsu, Ichigo's weapon manifestation, I kind of connected with his stoicism and just the coolness of the character just made me want to try to attempt to cosplay. As well as people saying I kind of have a likeness to it.
Yeah, you sort of do. Have you caught up all on the character and the manga and all that?
Well, basically, I've had a lot spoiled for me, which I don't mind because I'll read it anyway. But I'm not completely up to date. And should I avoid
Go ahead,
spoilers?
We talk about weekly stuff all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's see, what's happened before? I think it's kind of revealed that it's not his true Zanbaku too.
Yeah,
it's
he's Juha Bak.
Yeah, I believe the Kitsu. So what is, has it been fully explained what he is?
He's just a Quincy part in Ichigo. So does that change your mind about the character at all? Or?
Well, I mean, I'm still kind of connected since I'm still a person a little behind. But it's really interesting walking around and people being like, you're alive. It's like, I mean, it's just all good. That's great.
All right.
So when I had to say that he's the Quincy part of Ichigo, it really dawned on me how stupid Bleach is now.
Yeah, I could tell you struggling to...
Pretty dumb. Because it doesn't really make any sense. Is that like a thing that Quincy's can do? They can just like put a piece of themselves in someone else? Like in their soul?
I can't really imagine going to an anime convention and not being caught up on something. Not because it's like a weird thing to do, but just how hard it must be.
Like, yeah, I guess like if you really love Bleach, but you don't really read manga, you're probably behind on a lot of things.
What are you supposed to do? Go in there and go like, yeah. Okay, I don't know if they've rescued Rukia from Soul Society yet. Nobody tell me.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I wouldn't blame anyone if they'd stopped reading Bleach like a year ago or more.
So there was this weird thing where like, okay, so when if a character's dead in a manga or in anime, people usually cosplay as them as like they have blood spots or stuff on them or like burns or things like that.
Yeah.
So I see this Elizabeth that she has all these burns on her. And I start talking to her and I'm like, what's with the burns? Or like, I don't recall that in the game. She's like, oh, this is just, I got burned when I was a kid. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh God.
Please forgive me. She's like, no, it's okay. Lots of people ask. Like, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, that must be real. You know, there's other aspects of people that they come up. It's like, oh, you're burned, Elizabeth. It's like, no, I'm just Elizabeth. Go away.
Like, if I went as Naruto, people would be like, hey, you're brown Naruto.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of getting at. Like, oh, you're black Naruto. Like, no, I'm Naruto.
Did you mean to be B? Like, no?
It's like, oh, is that your own special take on the character? No, I'm Naruto. What? Why does everyone keep asking me that?
So these next people I met up with were this One Piece group. It was like three women, and the woman who was playing Sanji was basically like hitting on every other woman around there. I don't know if that was in character or she was just really into hitting on women. Huh. But so I managed to wrangle the three that were not hitting on other women. And like, there's this one like 6 foot tall Brook, and he was the lankiest guy I've ever seen.
Oh wow!
So let's listen to that.
Yep.
Did you guys? How did you decide on the characters you're doing? Because you're Frankie.
Yeah. I just love Frankie. He's such a zany character. He's like really cool, but he's also crazy. So it's really fun to be him.
Near Usopp.
Usopp's just a derp. Yeah. He's my favorite. He's so silly.
We have a Brook over here.
Yep. Well, I'm doing Brook because my sister had me do it. My sister Sanji. And she just knew I was, she's like, hey, you're tall and skinny, do Brook. I was like, all right, I'll do it. If I like it, I'll keep doing it. And here I am for my third con, so.
It works out well. So.
Plus, Brook's the man.
So. Yep.
All right, so thank you guys very much. So when that one girl who's playing Usopp said, Usopp's a derp, also felt really old.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Is that one of those words from the Tumblrs?
The Yahoo Mails.
God, One Piece must be fun to cosplay as. Just all these, like, guys say, like, Frankie. Just like, man, it must be fun to cosplay as Frankie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretend like they had like an actual, I don't know if it was just makeup or something, but it was looked like a steel nose.
Yeah, I just wrapped tinfoil around half my legs.
I'd go for the full thing. Like, I'd make as much of my back as shiny as possible. Like, put tinfoil up there the entire time.
And just go full on, like, Centaur Frankie. Have these, like, legs come out your back. Or no, was it out the front? Yeah.
Yeah, it was out
his front.
Front.
It's his front that's robotic, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, right, yeah. So speaking of how fun One Piece is to cosplay, I ran into a guy in the dealer's room who had a sign on his back that said Lucy. So let's listen to him.
All right, so you're dressed as Lucy, the
gladiator from One Piece right now.
So not at all Luffy, someone completely different.
Oh, wait, who's Luffy?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that, sorry.
So why Lucy?
Because Lucy's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they wouldn't let me wear my armor, I really wanted to, the whole reason why I even entered was just to get the armor, wear the armor, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just enjoy it so much.
So
I wanted to battle people.
Are you a big One Piece fan, or?
Love it. Love it so
favorite
much.
Favorite series?
By far.
Right.
By far. I hate to be someone like that, but I've loved it ever since I started watching anime.
When was that?
Started watching anime literally 2.5 years ago.
Okay. So you marathoned all of One Piece in that time. Wow.
I marathoned it from the beginning up to Marineford, and I've been there ever since.
Yeah. So what's your favorite arc?
My favorite arc?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's got to be Enies Lobby.
Nice.
Enies Lobby, by far.
Yeah.
Like, I love Robin's story.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
That's also mine, too.
Mm-hmm.
What about least favorite?
Least favorite? I mean, don't get me wrong, there's moments I love from Thriller Bark.
Really?
Like, the ending of Thriller Bark is amazing to me.
Yeah.
I just think pacing's a little slow, but I still love it. That's like asking me who's my least favorite family member, though.
See, I hear people say, like, Skypiea and Fishman.
I actually really love Skypiea.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I love
rare.
Inaru. Inaru is one of my favorite enemies.
thanks.
So I was totally trying to get him to say Fishman Island.
I could tell.
Finally, someone on the right side of history will Skype you.
Yeah, that's right.
Thriller Bark threw me for a loop, so I didn't know how to.
You were just totally befuddled.
Yeah.
But at least he got the best arc right.
Yeah, obviously.
That was a good old Southern boy, Luffy.
Yeah, like he was totally in character too.
Yeah, that was great.
That's what he was eating other people's food, as far as I could tell. Maybe they were his friends, but
I remember when I was the Temporal Wizard, there was two girls dressed up as Dark Pit and Pit, and they ran up and attacked me. I like when people do that.
So there were tons and tons and tons of Attack on Titan cosplayers.
Oh yeah, the last anime that had just like a group of about 50 of them in pretty nice looking.
Yeah, these are all
like,
it
seems like
good
that would
costumes.
That wouldn't be too hard to get together either.
What surprised me is that they were all the humans. I didn't see any like people dressed up in like the.
I did see a Titan at the last place I went to, like full like Zentai suit, like full over your face.
Yeah, and these people I talked to, like I just saw them chilling out on a banister somewhere. And these are like weirdly attractive people. Like, you would not expect to see them in an anime convention. You would expect to see them in, like, a J. Crew catalog.
Hey, that's an offensive thing to say.
Yeah. It's a very offensive thing to say. But I need to understand that, like, this is super weird that all these people are, like, really into this anime.
You're not even saying they're just, like, baseline attractive. You're, like, saying they are especially, like...
They were very attractive people.
Not that everyone else was ugly, just that they were, like, even out in the real world, they would be a group of particularly good-looking people.
They would be double take attractive.
Well,
all right. So let's listen to them.
Okay, so you guys are doing Attack on Titan cosplay.
Yep.
Why'd you decide on that?
It's the best anime this year. It has to be
by far. It's one of the best new animes that I've seen personally. Yes.
I haven't watched it yet, but so what's so great about it?
It has a lot of stuff that it's something new and refreshing. Mm-hmm. Not to say that every anime is the same, but this one is definitely different than other ones.
Right.
It has a lot of unique stuff to it. I had a good story in the movie.
Yeah, the concept of like how the gear works and stuff is really cool. It's like a unique.
Yeah, it's inspired us for this cosplay too.
So I think like the season finale is this week or next week or something like that.
I think it's this week. This week.
The manga is like most things is really far ahead, but. It's gonna come up soon, so hopefully there's another season up soon.
So are you catching up with the manga, or just watching the anime?
We do the manga and the anime.
Awesome.
So yeah, they were super into that. Like, I knew a lot of people liked that anime, but they were like, okay, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The anime thing I went to, there was a lot of like people just made Titan heads and like stuck them behind their booths, and like about every other booth was doing that. Selling merch.
That's actually one of the reasons I'm disappointed Greg isn't here, because I'm sure he would have wanted to rub that in people's faces. Like, yeah, you guys should watch Attack on Titan.
Yeah, I've got it right here on my desktop. I could start an episode right now. We can just all watch it.
The best episode of Jumpcast. All of which is commenting on Mystery Science Theater style on an episode of Attack on Titan.
I'm always like really impressed with the people that like, you know, Attack on Titan hasn't been around that long for them to get together pretty nice cosplay, like the speed people. You know, that, like, get right out there and, you know, like, something happened a week ago in a manga and they've got a cosplay together for it.
Yeah.
See, that's what, like, impresses me so much about these guys. Like, just in general, but these people love these characters so much and they love this IP so much that they will willingly dress up and go to a convention where they can, like, show off and show people how much they love it. It's like, I cannot remember, like, we even do this jump cast and I can't remember loving Naruto that much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My problem is I can't think of a Naruto character that I'm look like. So I want to get at least in the ballpark.
Kabuto.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that before. And then Big Nose Kabuto. I don't want to cosplay as him anymore.
Honestly, I think Big Nose Kabuto would have been like, if you could just go as every Kabuto.
Man, if I got some putty, I could totally go as Big Nose Kabuto.
Yeah.
Okay, this might have to happen.
But no one's going to recognize you, and that's going to be, like, the saddest thing. Our cultural penetration is not that high. So, last bit of that night, I was figuring I'll just go interview people in the lobby, and I came across this one girl who I didn't recognize, and when she told me that thing she was from, I had no idea what it was. and then the other person was a Korra, which made it really obvious.
There was a lot of
Korras. I'm from Motoroki from Franklin, France.
I've never seen that or heard of it.
It's a manga.
Okay. So probably should be something that I know about, but... So why did you guys decide to do what are the characters that you chose?
That's a great question. Actually, I just really liked Korra, honestly. I just really liked her character.
Well, who doesn't?
And because considering like a lot of the, you know, action girls, she's more of a tomboyish person, and I can actually have fun with that, doing tomboyish things, so...
And I chose Frankenfran because she's just really cute, and she's always trying to help people, but she always messes it up.
So why'd you guys decide to like cosplay in the first place?
Actually, a friend of mine got me into it. You know, we were just doing it for fun, just so we could have fun. And then a lot of people recognized who we were and stuff, and we just really liked, you know, having the picture taken and acting like the character and all.
Right.
And we just had fun with it after that, and I just couldn't stop cosplaying.
My freshman year, and I joined an anime club, and from that they started a cosplay club, and I was like, sure, why not? Because I had been going to conventions, so I knew what cosplay was. And then I started my first cosplay that year, and I went to the University of Alabama's Comic-Con, and they gave me my first cosplay.
So, why come to the cons?
It's just fun. I like going to all the panels and the dealers room.
The only place I can actually nerd out, honestly, in all honesty, and have other nerds hang out with, you know, together, and of course the dealer's room, the video panels, you can see some celebrities that, you know, you will never see, like, walking around in America or anything. It's just a good place to literally just nerd out as much as you can without any problem whatsoever.
So then what's the coolest thing you've seen, at least this year?
Players, just like those up there, they're amazing. I've seen so many amazing cosplays this year. It shocks me. Like, I was so amazed by a lot of them.
I think it was this Yeti cosplay I saw from, remember that like skiing game on the computer?
Yes, I did. Yeah,
you know what the game's called? I forgot what it's
called. Free. Ski Free.
Yeah, yeah, Ski Free. Free. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the Yeti there, and he was running around with his arms completely like a belt. Like,
yeah.
It was amazing.
Oh, no, 4chan?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I'm waiting for the panel today. At 10.
What is Frankenfran?
It's a manga.
Yeah, it's a manga. It's about this...
Well, I got that from the initial description.
It's about this girl who really likes to help people. But she's, she's kind of messes things up, you know.
Kind of like
really... God damn it, you guys.
She's like a mad scientist that tries to help people with their problems, but like totally misses the point.
Yeah, she tries to keep people alive no matter what. And it leads to some kind of interesting scenarios.
Weird body horror stuff, basically.
Yeah, it's basically all body horror.
Like, you know, a guy wants to impress a girl, or a girl wants to get prettier for a guy, so she, like, mutilates her body and makes her look like a caterpillar so that she'll gestate into a butterfly, but then she turns into like an actual butterfly or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember how that one ended, but that's... They're usually like, she helps someone who's being selfish, like in some way, like she's helping them with their selfish problems, and it, you know, ironic twist of fate, they learn a lesson, but too late, and then they die.
So it's like Assassination Classroom, but with death.
Yeah, and body
horror. Yeah, kind of. And that's a lot of body horror.
Huh. So the answer they gave about how, like, it's the only place that you can nerd out is absolutely why I loved that convention when I was younger.
Yeah.
Now you nerd out once a week.
Yeah. Twice. Now we have, like, honestly, I think the internet makes cons kind of, I mean, a little moot.
Ah, no, there's still...
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Not extent, like, it's still a nice place if you're still, like, a teenager and all that, but... If I want anime merchandise, I can go online and find it. Or if I just want to, like, talk to people about anime, it's not hard to find like-minded people.
I still enjoy just going out and doing things with other people.
Whatever. Get back in your quarter, manga podcast co-host.
Aww.
But yeah, I wish I shared that optimism. Maybe it would be less of a bummer if I went like next year or instead just went to Dragon Con.
You need to dress up. I think this is what the answer is.
I wore my Wonderful 101 shirt and two people were like, hey, that shirt's awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Now you need to dress up as Wonder Black because I'm sorry. That's your lot. That's the hand you were dealt. That's what you got to do.
If I went as Wonder Blue, would people be like, hey, you got your Wonder Black costume wrong?
Oh, you're Wonder Black as Wonder Blue.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Maybe I will hit MomoCon when that rolls around.
Yeah, that's really making me want to go to SakuraCon next year. I might just do that if I can afford it.
God, that commercial.
Gilgamesh. That was Sakura-Con.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's God.
That is not indicative of SakuraCon.
No.
I want to stress that.
I did see a Hatsune Miku game being played, like the PS3 game, but it had this like giant custom controller with like the shapes just as the big buttons. It was like a big Play School like thing. Huh. But there was a huge line for it, and like a third of those people were actually dressed like Hatsune Miku. Not necessarily women, but dressed like Hatsune Miku.
At PAX, they had the Hatsune Miku game for PS3, and they had professional cosplayers doing Miku and Rin that were like actually in different costumes every day.
Oh, wow.
Like, you know, now she's in a kimono, you know, and they, God bless them, they stood there all day waving light sticks around trying to get nerds to play the game.
See, that just feels cynical to me. I think, like, that's one of the nice things about, like, a mostly fan-based con, is that you don't get that cynicism anywhere.
Yeah, it's just people that really love doing that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I mostly tried to talk to, like, for every cute girl I would talk to, which in fairness I wasn't particularly trying, it's just they were the ones that were there, I would try to talk to one not creepy guy, and you would be amazed how difficult that was. It's like, oh, I'll go talk to that person. Nope, he's wearing a schoolgirl outfit. Or that guy with the weird eyes that's having little kids pet his Pokemon doll.
Oh, God.
I wish I knew that that was not a story.
Yeah.
Though I think I told the story on Free to Play, but when I was leaving, I saw like an Elizabeth cosplayer like blowing a Booker cosplayer.
Making mouth happy. Come on, this is the PG podcast. Why didn't you ask them for an interview? Just like knock on the window.
I was sort of unnerved, otherwise I would have totally griefed them. But like they did a very shallow effort at covering up the windows.
Excuse me, ma'am. I want to ask you about the canonical implications of what you're doing.
Isn't this kind of weird?
I have some fan fiction you guys would love, I bet.
The less talked about that, the better, I think. Especially because we already talked about it on Field of Play.
I mean, Bleach is the least gross aspect here.
Sure. Let's start with Bleach.
Okay, Hoshball standing there.
Yep. He's standing there menacingly.
Poking a barrier with his sword, just kind of like jabbing at it.
Yeah, because apparently Nanao's specialty is Kido.
Oh, that's...
She can make walls.
Well, that's convenient.
Yep.
Hey, you know when that would have been, like, useful?
The last time this happened?
Yeah, when her captain was getting stabbed in the face repeatedly.
No, well, her captain is,
Shinsui.
Shinsui, yeah.
Stabbed in the face.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot.
Missing an eye.
He got shot in
was he Yeah, okay, he got shot. He got stabbed with a bullet.
But then something happens behind them.
They feel the Reiatsu of Soi Fong and, Hitsugaya being hurt.
Yeah.
Because Hoshwald had just established that Nanao cannot teach this to other people, which means nobody else has walls. Which I think if they all just had walls, that would be really boring.
I think that's...
Yeah.
But I think it's, you know, Hoshwald's point of like, just like, oh, I had the perfect defense. It's like, okay, that's great, you're fine. We're kind of killing everyone else out there, so...
Yeah.
You know, whatevs. Later.
I bet she could have taught it to people, but Shusui was very busy with his giving tickets to kids thing.
Yeah.
He didn't have
to the human world for a little while and have a chat.
He had her on graphic design for the tickets. It's like, no, yeah. They really got to have that theme park look. Come on.
It's like all the Quincy are going to attack it once in 2 days. Whatever, not now.
Yeah.
Whatever. So Busby/Bosby/something?
Bezaby?
Bill. Like, they keep going back and forth on his name.
Bill Bosby.
Every time you say Bosby, it makes me think of Bubsy. And design-wise, he's not that different. Like, if Bubsy wore a Nazi coat, it would be pretty much the same.
And had a mohawk.
Yeah. But he had two. The mohawk is implied.
He was the rude dude with attitude.
Yep. So, Hitsugaya basically just covers the entire place in mist.
Yeah.
And then doesn't hide.
Yeah.
And then it's like kind of just shows up and goes like, I got nothing.
Yep. Well, shit. Card.
So, okay, so this doesn't cover it, but what happened between last chapter and this one?
Yeah, he kind of got it, like, killed last chapter. And there's
he got a finger through his chest. He
stabbed with the one finger, but then...
He's bleeding. They show, like, at the start, that's blood dripping on the ground as he's running.
So that finger wasn't nearly as menacing as they made it seem.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, ow.
Later. So Busby threatens to use two fingers.
And makes good.
Yes. And it creates like a giant spire of fire.
And it is implied that Hitsugaya has been cut in half.
Is that what's happening? His shikai are broke.
Yeah.
No, he's not cut in half. I don't think.
It's like all white, like right through the middle of him.
Yeah, but look at like the next panel.
I think that's his cape sash.
Ah, okay.
No, I think that's just like the fire or something.
Well, he slumps over dead.
Yeah.
But not quite.
And then the guy that actually stole his bankai, because we weren't sure, shows up and is like, yeah, I'll finish him off, like, after he's on the ground bleeding out.
Here, which probably has a lot to do with the next thing that's about, that comes up, is that Kurotsuchi notices that everyone's Ryatsu has disappeared, so he's the only one left. And then he gets a call in his son ear.
Maybe that whole thing is just a headset and they're really efficient.
Yeah.
Urahara has Deus Ex Machina, the Bankai's back.
I just completed a method of getting your Bankai's back.
I'm here too.
And man, I really hope that like they get their Bankai's back and then they just beat them all. And then Ichigo and company come back and they're like, alright, we're ready, we have our ultimate techniques. We're ready to fight the Quincy's. And it's just, oh no, we beat them.
I bet
it's if they get hit by their own Bankai.
Like,
well, yeah, because like, I mean, that's how Hitsugaya has to not die, because he's the most popular.
You shield with your sword and it like absorbs back into it or something.
Yeah. Hitsugaya had his own movie. He's not gonna die.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah, the Diamond Dust Rebellion.
Huh. So that reminds me, isn't Hitsugaya's Shigai kind of like redundant with Rukia's ice thing as well?
He's got an ice dragon.
Yeah.
She's got like weird ice dances.
Yeah.
Wait, he doesn't own ice. He doesn't have a copyright on it.
But yeah, nobody else shares the same elements, do they?
I don't know. Busby has fire.
It's always implied that there are, like, a lot more Zanpakutos than we, like, actually get to see. Like, all those regular grunts have actual powers and stuff, too.
We should go through and look at all of them.
Check out that character book. This guy's got a toaster for a Zanpakuto.
Oda and Kuwatide should just do a manga together where they just introduce characters nonstop.
It's just
every
like
page, there's five new characters.
It starts with a one-on-one battle, and then like one guy starts to lose, and someone jumps down, and it's like, I've arrived just in time. Don't worry, I'll take it from here. And that just keeps happening over and over. It just never stops.
Like something like the Royal Rumble, where people just constantly come in and like slowly get eliminated. I think that would work out well for them. Just a manga of nothing but that.
Except
that would be pretty cool. I'd read Kubo it.
Kubotite's problem is that he'll introduce someone that he likes, and then he'll just keep bringing that person back over and over.
Well,
yeah.
Kinda,
regardless of whether it makes sense or if he showed the person being decapitated or not. I just really love that Hitsugaya just shows up and is like, I don't know.
Yeah. For the life of me, I can't figure out what that scene is about.
Well,
he's just like, hey, you didn't run away. Cool.
Like, I know what's happening in it, but like, Hitsugaya just like, I couldn't think of a plan, so this is awkward.
I guess slash me. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Just get it over with.
I'm going to call it audible on this turn.
So this totally isn't Hitsugaya, right? This is like some kind of ice clone thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously. That
I mean,
be...
it like shows up after the mist clears.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really do anything.
Yeah, I could see ice clone.
Yeah.
Because that would be the only way to explain away that strategy as not being the worst thing.
He just stands still and gets hit.
Yeah.
I mean, he may as well have poofed in fog.
Yeah, you'd think that it would, like, dispel when it got hit by that attack, but...
I mean, like, maybe they're trying to pretend, like, the trap is, like, the big thing? But it, like, it immediately does nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I don't know. Another chapter of almost no forward movement in anything.
Well, my thought was maybe this was, like, two chapters that he was forced to put together.
What? You think?
I mean, think about it. There's two blows. That's way more than... that exceeds the chapter average for Bleach.
Like, Busby getting caught in that big ice pillar, and at the end it says, like, the decisive finishing blow, to be continued. And then next week, no, I'm fine.
Didn't even hurt.
Yeah, totally good. Even better than fine.
I still love how, like, Kurotsuchi's opponent just sort of left.
Yeah.
I think he's still there.
I like to think he's still there, like, goading them into coming into the shadow.
Come on.
He's, like, standing in the corner.
Throws a, like, starburst on the ground. And it's like, oh, that looked pretty good. You guys can have it if you want to get it. Just come step in the shadows.
Or, like, putting a dollar bill on a fishing hook.
Uh-huh.
Just tossing it over.
He's looking
on.
Like, oh, man, Matsumoto is bathing back here. You guys got to come see this. Yeah, here in the shadows. It's great.
All right. I feel like we're done with Bleach.
Yeah, we should probably move through these fairly fast.
Yeah.
Not, like, super fast, but just not dwell too much on Bleach. Beelzebub, let's dwell on it.
So, Oga's sister is the best character in the manga.
Yep.
Basically, yeah.
I've been saying this forever.
Well, this is the first time she's ever actually done anything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been, like, a nice background character.
Yeah.
Oga's house, but...
It was pretty funny that time that we found out that she was the head of the Red Tails.
Right.
Yeah.
So the male Solomon Company guy, Akinori, decides he's going to hit on Oga's sister.
Of course he is. Who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to repair her house, but first they should go out to lunch and they will have a match to settle which of them is stronger.
And then she slams his head into the pavement, or into a wall.
Into a wall, yep.
She does the burying attack.
Yeah.
Which, as we've established, is Beelzebub power establishment.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she's already on par with Oga.
Yeah.
Nowhere to go but up.
So then she says that he has to pay for that wall, too, and he decides that he's going to go all out and summon his demon.
So he summons Libra. Which, I guess this means they all have, like, constellation powers.
That makes sense.
They're called, like, the horoscope thing.
And she immediately kicks it in the face.
Yeah.
Yep, just kicks it in the face.
It looks like a cross between that thing from BlazBlue and Lavos from Chrono Trigger.
I was going to say it looks like a cross between one of Frieza's henchmen and an enemy from Persona.
Yeah.
It kind of looks like a cross between one of Frieza's henchmen and one of those forest spirits from Princess Mononoke.
So basically, it's from everything.
You guys don't see Lavos.
And also Frieza's henchmen. I can see a little bit of Lavos.
Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's totally Frieza's henchmen.
Okay.
Yeah, just the bodysuit, you know.
Yeah.
So Libra gets taken out.
Yep. And everyone's kind of surprised by this.
What's her name? What is her name?
Mitch.
Mitch, that's right. I know it's a guy's name. I just cannot remember. I keep wanting to say Heath. But she starts freaking out.
America.
And realizing that this is Oga's sister, and that's his only weak point.
Mm-hmm.
And...
But it's going to be impossible to take her down.
Yes.
So, our brainless Furuichi jumps off Mitch's shoulder and runs to Misaki.
By the way, that panel where he jumps off, Mitch's, like, reaction off to the side is great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's shocked that she's been left by Furuichi.
Basically turns into a Muppet.
Uh-huh.
And Misaki doesn't quite get the situation yet. She thinks Furuichi just lost a lot of weight.
You know, people not being alarmed by this is starting to really weird me out.
Yeah. I love how everyone in this manga just takes things in stride all the time. It's just
everyone's down with the supernatural now, just really quickly.
Yeah.
There's no evidence that Oga's sister is smarter than Oga.
That's true.
She might think it's a crayfish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is how she remembers Fruichi being super tiny.
Oh, she says he's lost weight.
So shameless Fruichi strikes a light Yagami pose and says that he's the real one and that's just a fake. And the two Fruichi start fighting over how they're both, like, the other one is worthless.
And then Misaki says, like, no, you're both actually like Fruichi.
Yep.
Which, probably the most insulting thing of all.
So Nene, like, steps in and she's like, she introduces herself after she has washed off all her makeup as the not leader, but kind of stand-in, but temporary leader of the Red Tails.
Yeah. She starts choking, basically.
I'm glad that they, like, they don't call her the leader of the Red Tails. Like, not out of spite, it's just, it was never really official. She was just kind of always stand-in.
Yeah, for a little while.
Until I took her coat back.
Yeah, when she got cold.
Yep. And Misaki is not really all that impressed by Nene.
I love that Brainless Fruichi points out that it's like Nene's confessing to someone she has a crush on.
Yeah.
I mean, she basically is.
Yeah.
So the strategist Fruichi comes in and says they should stop gawking over Nene or fighting over their body. Because they're all really Fruichi. Mm. And Akiboshi and Oga walk in with buckets of crayfish.
Yeah.
I love that they eventually just gave up on finding Fruichi. And
I like to think they got, like, super distracted. Like, they just forgot totally about Fruichi because they found a crayfish.
They kept looking at places where crayfish would be.
Oga says he's looking for them, but they call him out on lying. So Misaki sprays Oga down with a hose, and the Fruichi's all make up, or strategist Fruichi tries to make up with the other Fruichi's, but keeps saying kind of rude things.
They call him a total ass.
And he says they're his weakness. So they all get together because shameless Fruichi saw Nene in a bikini, and once they get back together, they all regain each other's memories. So Kage Bushin rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mitch decides to try and step on Fruichi, who points out that she has a nice ass, and that's why they followed her.
Yep.
And Akinori takes her up on the roof, where they get in fighting stances, and she has, I think we pointed out last week, Cancer, the crab.
Yep.
Yep.
So they're all astrology themed.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for, astrology.
Ah.
So, there's probably 10 more of these guys.
Yeah.
Probably.
But they don't seem very strong.
Well, not so far.
These two, but you know how that goes.
Yeah. They're the jobbers, the scouts.
So, I like how Cancer is a crab.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because Cancer's a crab. And Libra is a weird alien long neck mask thing.
What is the actual thing for Libra?
Scales.
It's a scale.
Oh. Well, I guess, they kind of hard to represent in demon form.
Yeah, kind of hard to have a scale demon.
Better to just go all the way in the other direction.
Yeah. Just do whatever.
Yeah.
But then Misaki wants them to get off the top of the house, but Oga and Akiboshi are teaming up.
Well, they heard the word Solomon Company.
Yes.
So they decided to bust some heads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I like how they're, like, already friends.
Yeah, they were immediate bros once they weren't enemies for a second.
I mean, they're basically the same character. Except Akiboshi has more of a crew.
It's going to be easy to see how Akiboshi fights with Mammon. Is that who his was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He might not even use him. Takamiya didn't use Lucifer for a while.
Well, I hope he does. I want to see someone else fight with a demon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if they get a Zebub crest and get to do weird things.
We've actually never seen Akiboshi fight, have we?
No.
Nope.
He's always just showed up and, like, said things and left. Maybe he's not a good fighter.
That would be pretty great.
Yeah.
Mammon's thing is just money, and he doesn't have any strength whatsoever.
Yeah, this is a good chapter. Yeah. I the crayfish gag got me pretty hard.
Yeah, I laughed pretty hard at that.
I enjoyed I forgot his name already, the other Solomon Company guy.
Akanori?
Yeah. I enjoyed him just getting taken out really quickly and then his demon getting taken out really quickly.
Yeah. Like I said, Misaki is the best character in Beelzebub.
Yeah, I enjoyed after she kicked it, it cuts back to her for a second, she still just has her foot up in the air.
Also, where's Hilda?
I don't know, she died or something.
On the way back, she live there?
On the way back to her home planet.
She's searching for Furuichi, she's scanning the whole town.
I wonder if she's just not popular for some reason.
Did we ever see the result of her fight with the mysterious stranger guy?
Yeah, he just teleported away.
Yeah.
Okay. That was the last time we saw her, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, no, I think she was in one of Furuichi's flashbacks before he got kidnapped.
Well, weird.
Like one or two panels, maybe.
Yeah, it's weird how she hasn't been around much lately.
Like, even Ellendale's come back.
Yeah. Well, of course, he had to look for Furuichi.
Yes. It's Somebody also, had to.
It's worth noting, after us mentioning last week about how Beelzebub was in last place, it's in, like, fifth place this year. Or this week. So.
It's... I honestly don't know what's happening with this.
If my math is right, the one last week that was super low was the chapter where they revealed the machine that takes Beel away. And the one that was rated this week would be the one with Kanzaki and Beel teaming up.
Oh. That would make sense then.
I'm sure people might have felt it was like a little bit of a cheap twist to just have Ogo winning the fight and just have it get snatched away. So maybe that soured some people.
Here's my theory. Maybe we're thinking of, like, voters are thinking on too high a level. Like, maybe it's just literally as simple as, oh no, baby penis is gone. Oh yay, baby penis is back. Vote high. They could just all be kids.
I refuse to...
They may not be thinking about it on the level of, like, I'm not sure this is panning out well for this arc.
You don't think they sit there with, like, the write-in list and they're just like, okay, now I've got it narrowed down to 4. Really gonna have to start comparing these to each other.
I really think it does come down to, like, hey, this one had tits this week.
Well, for some of it. You know that there's, like, spurgy groups of people on 2chan who obsess over this sort of thing.
I was gonna say, so what you're saying is last week's Beelzebub is gonna be number 1 with a bullet.
I'd love it if they actually published comment cards sometimes.
They never ever will.
Yeah. Nope. It's actually brilliant marketing data that you every week these people send you exactly what they want. Valuable information.
Yeah.
And then you can leverage that into even more money.
Yeah. It's like Club Nintendo, but for manga.
Yes.
Yep.
All right then. On to Naruto.
The Gokage have arrived.
All right.
The 5 Kages make an unannounced visit, which I'm pretty sure it was pretty announced. Like, they've been mind-linked for a while.
Also, yeah. It's a war. Do you really have announced visits to a war?
I mean, I'm just here, just chilling.
We were in the neighborhood, riding on these sand clouds. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
All this big flower, like, what the hell, man? Gotta go check that out.
So now that the Kages are here, all the other ninja pretend to look busy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We were just about to get motivated and go help.
Yeah, we were just about to attack that giant tree monster. We weren't just standing around, you know, hoping that those other guys will take care of it.
Look at how hard I'm clutching this sword.
I'm not even joking. They all, like, jump up and, like, grab their weapons and, like, stand in pose.
Well, the boss is there.
But it's not played for laughs like that. It's like...
I better start, you know, using these hand signs. I better start, you know, using some jutsus here.
God. I wish the Kages would call him on it and just start being like, are you menacing a rock?
So meanwhile, Naruto and Sasuke are still on their way to Obito.
Yep, they're in midair.
He was a really long way away.
Yeah. Getting closer.
But also they're like 50 feet tall, so
yeah.
It really shouldn't take that long. Also, Shikamaru is still dying.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's the Byakuya of Naruto.
And Sakura is healing him.
Oh, and I didn't notice this the first time, but Sasuke actually shoots his little hand crossbow thing.
Oh, yeah, in that first panel.
Yeah. And then it hits, but it doesn't do anything.
And then he looks unhappy.
Yep.
As Orochimaru would put it, he does not look happy.
He's just like,
So Sakura is healing Shikamaru and notices that all the chakra around people is flaring up. Because Naruto is, I guess, worrying about Shikamaru?
Yeah. He just subconsciously wants to protect everyone really hard.
Because they're all still mind-linked. And Ino was explaining this, but I don't feel why she needs to explain it because they're all still mind-linked.
Yep.
And then Shikamaru starts having a rousing Naruto speech in his head, which everyone can hear because they're all still mind-linked.
And then he has a flashback about how great Naruto is.
Yeah.
And then that time that he talked to his dad about how great Naruto is.
Yep. So what gets me about this is everyone else has been the best possible friend to Naruto except Sasuke.
Pretty much,
but Sasuke is the only person he cares about.
Naruto's just such a star fucker.
Yeah.
Weren't you the one who said this podcast is PG-13?
Yeah.
Kids need to know someday.
They learn about it on the Tumblrs.
Yeah. Yep. So Shikamaru says that he's going to stand up and live because Naruto needs a right-hand man.
Yeah.
So he is going to be his Smithers.
He's going to be his Kabuto.
And then, he actually says he's going to be, like, the second was to first.
Because Naruto doesn't have a brother.
I enjoy that the second doesn't seem particularly thrilled by this.
He's like, I was second Hokage too, come on.
It's like, I gotta be, you know, like, the weak but smart guy that figures out all the problems while the other guy's the actual hero. It's
like, yeah.
The one who everyone remembers and isn't in the history books.
Man, I invented the shadow clone technique, or the shadow technique.
You know, it's like, mind link, stop thinking so much.
But then Shikamaru is, like, better.
Yeah. And then Sai is for some reason there. It says, we're tired of waiting. It's Sai. Maybe you can say that when you've done
when
something.
Sai existed.
He's part of Team 7 too.
I like to think there's like this big rousing group moment. He's just like sidling and sideways. And he's like, yay, we did it. All of us.
So then Ino says, thank you, Sakura. But in her head, she's really thinking, thank you, Naruto. But it doesn't matter because they're still mind-linked.
The mind-link doesn't... I don't know, it seems to have iffy... like
reception?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so, Hinata, like, immediately starts thinking about how she wants to stand by Naruto's side and nobody pays attention to it.
Well, my theory behind that is that either nobody pays attention to Hinata or she wasn't in the original mind-link.
Oh, I think she reacted to the mind-link thing. Or do you think they excluded her?
Maybe they just forgot her.
Nope, that's Neji. He died. I don't even
know. She's not even moving, so I don't know what you're talking about.
And then Tsunade literally gives Sakura a pat on the head for healing Shikamaru.
First, Kiba tries to insist that maybe he'll be Hokage, and everyone just dismisses him.
That's going to be really funny if that happens. It just cuts to, like, you know, 5 years later, and it like looks like Naruto wearing it, but then it's Kiba, and he's like... You know, it's like, what? Nobody ever paid attention to me. I was the best ninja in the village. Yeah. I stopped 2 apocalypses and nobody gave me the time of day.
And nobody knew about it because I'm a good ninja.
He was the leader of that group.
Yeah, remember that army of Orochimaru clones? No? Well, you're welcome.
So Tsunade like high-fives Shikamaru's forehead and he's fine.
I mean, is she healing? Is that...
Yeah, I guess so.
Yes.
But it looks like he's just slapping his forehead, then immediately, like, patting Sakura on the head. Yep. Like a dog.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Then she says, yo, what's up, to her grandpappy.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He talks about how it's okay, because, like, it's their problem, but the will of the first Hokage is now built into this current generation. Well, by the way, Naruto is still in midair heading towards Obito. All of this stuff is happening in that time span.
Look, that tree is, like, really far away. Takes a while to get there.
So the Tsuchikage is like, well, we control the earth, so rousing speech.
Well, okay, let's cut this short. All the Kages rousing speech their people.
Yeah.
Like,
and Gaara thinks about how great Naruto is.
And Shikamaru's like, hey, don't tret. Find your own thing.
Gaara's like, I need to be a dick to Naruto, just like the original Sand Kage was to...
It occurs to me that the first Kazekage did not actually get anything he wanted.
Nope.
Because, like, we've seen Sand Village. It doesn't have anything, like, any extra land. Everyone still lives in that sand part.
We're going to do, like, put sand in our shoes?
Yeah.
So, after Gaara gives his rousing speech, we see Kakashi has apparently sewn himself up.
Yep.
Yeah, he's fine.
Because he can do that.
What,
and also, he talks as if he's, like, listening to the conversation outside. Yeah, I'm here too.
He's just, you know, making a educated guess that everyone is giving some speeches right about now.
Everyone is being roused.
Uh-huh. It'd be funny if he's just, like, perfectly guessing. It's like, yeah, the Kages are probably showing up about now. They're on their fourth or fifth motivating speech while Naruto's in midair.
Mm-hmm.
And then our Hashirama finally leads everyone off to battle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Naruto still not quite to Obito yet.
I love it.
So
next
since
issue,
they're like, since they're like
issue,
normal
Sasuke
people,
and Naruto finally get to Obito.
Yeah.
So since these are all like mostly normal people, it's probably going to take them what, 5 or 6 chapters to get to the giant flower.
I bet they get there immediately.
And then, like, most
Naruto so long.
Yeah.
Naruto, your slow-mo attacks are not helping. It's not dramatic. It's just annoying.
Can't it be both? This was a weird chapter. I don't know. Like I said, it's like the fourth. It's the fourth or fifth motivational speech that they've given about how they need to support Naruto.
Yeah, I just kind of glossed over most of it when I read it the first time because it's just, is anything happening yet? Not really.
Also, it occurs to me that all the leaders of this army, like including Naruto, are either wearing Konoha headbands or no headbands at all.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, but didn't they get a... Well, I guess Naruto didn't, but didn't most of the other people get those new headbands?
But none of the Kages are wearing their headbands.
Makes you wonder where they got those on, like, such short notice.
Yeah.
They go to a souvenir shop and it's like, we'll take them all.
And then Big Nose Kabuto's brother did not have a war headband. He was still wearing his Konoha headband.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were making that up, and then I'm like, oh, wait, he did have a brother.
In fairness, that was real Kabuto, not Big Nose Kabuto, but he thought it was Big Nose Kabuto.
Yeah, so, really, who's the real Kabuto at this point, when the rest of the world remembers Big Nose? Okay, so Naruto next week, fighting.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Hopefully.
I'm glad at this point there's really no stories they can cut away to. There's only this now. Everything's in one place.
And yet he still figured out a way to delay another chapter.
But maybe next time. Maybe.
No, next time we're going to go and see what Kakashi has been doing this whole time.
I really
just sewing himself up.
I really hope next week Naruto's in midair going like, oh, wait, why aren't we moving? And then you like realize that Obito's just like holding them up in the air with gravity powers.
I think it's going to be a thing like they can't attack Obito, but and they can't attack the flower, but if they attack them at the same time, then they can't have a defense.
And you're going to have the scene of like all the Kages in the army attacking something at the exact same moment Naruto and Sasuke attack something.
So what you're saying is parallels.
Yeah. A big parallel two-page spread.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, where'd Forth go?
Yeah, I was just gonna ask if he's still there. I think
where did
he's
go?
He's 105 miles back where they started chasing Obito from.
But he has Flash Staff. He could get there immediately. Flash Staff would have solved all of this.
Yeah, Naruto can do it too, but he's just not.
He's following Sasuke. They need to know where he was going.
I mean, they're there. They're above him.
What I want to know is where the third went.
Well, that's a good question for a lot of this manga.
Because, like, I didn't imagine that, right? Like, three chapters ago, he showed up and...
Yeah, he came back. And he saved Naruto from the roots.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Maybe they're doing something.
Is he? I don't know.
Because he was there when Naruto was remembering his funeral.
Oh,
and he also talked to Orochimaru.
Yeah. And then he just sort of disappeared again.
Maybe he's off with Orochimaru.
I don't know. I guess.
They just come back and he's just punching Orochimaru in the face over and over. Because what? What?
You didn't think I'd forgive you, did I?
Yeah, it was totally three chapters ago. And at the end of that chapter, they set off to go fight Obito.
Well, they'll be there in like five or six chapters. It'll be fine.
Once everyone has been properly motivated.
Then you have like, it cuts to Shino. He's like, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. Let me tell you a story.
Wait, is Shino here? I don't think I've seen him.
He was right after Kiba.
Yeah. Oh, right. Just with the Kiba, like, you're not Tokage material, shut up thing.
He just blends into the background.
I mean, Hinata's on their team. That's, like, the most forgettable team. Like, as a team, as a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
Well, like, Shikamaru's team had, like, the kind of, like, oh, they work super good together. Like, that's their thing.
Yeah.
And then Kiba, Shino, and Hinata are just, like, those are other characters that I guess are grouped up because, you know, so they had to go somewhere.
They don't fit in anywhere else.
Like, you got Lee.
Stick them together.
You got Lee's team, you got Shikamaru's team, and then you got the rest of these dudes.
And Naruto's team is like, those are two outstanding individuals.
And two not-so-outstanding individuals. Yeah.
Naruto, like, they played fast and loose with Naruto's team because he's got lots of people.
Yeah. You know, I've got to give this to Kishimoto. He hasn't forgotten that Sai exists. And that's something.
I mean, not permanently.
Yeah.
I feel like Sai was in a lot of danger at one point of just being Naruto's launch.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Well, there was that weird thing of, like, he was there for, like, two arcs, and then he just kind of wasn't. And they didn't mention him again for a long time.
Like, he was supposed to be embroiled in all his Anbu stuff, but then that never went anywhere.
Yeah, he had this big tragic backstory that they went through, and then he's just kind of not around.
Yep. All right, then.
The chapter of Ass Class that Greg and I looked at last week.
So, out of curiosity, how much of this did you understand having later read the English part?
Oh, pretty much most of it. Like, I didn't get the specifics of his new form, but I could tell it was, like, some kind of defense.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's all laid out.
So pretty well. They think they've killed Koro-sensei, but he emerges in, like, a cell form?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a Tamagotchi egg.
Or something. Yeah, he's like a tiny little, about the size of, looks like a baseball. Really small. Oh,
bigger than that, I think, like, a basketball size.
Yeah.
It is perfectly defensive that, and it cannot be destroyed in any way.
Yeah, he basically takes his head, but then takes all the energy from the rest of his body and turns it into like an indestructible membrane around him.
Mm-hmm.
But the downside is that in this form, he cannot be, or he can't move at all for 24 hours.
Yeah. At which time he will turn back to his old form.
So his biggest fear is that they would have put him in a rocket and launched it in space.
Yeah, which they can't do.
Not on 24 hours notice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they don't, like, you know, throw it into a giant pit of anti-Koro-sensei stuff and then lock it.
I think they talk about maybe doing that? Or that was one of Kurosuma's ideas?
Yeah, I thought they mentioned that.
Yeah. But first, Karma decides to bully Koro-sensei by, like, putting him in front of the embarrassment video and then putting his tea slug on top of him.
Yes. I do love that Tarasaka's like original idea is just like bash it with a wrench over and over.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, Kurosuma suggests that sealing him in anti-sensei material, but he would just use the energy that he gets back from the crystal form to blow it away.
Mm-hmm.
So Koro-sensei can't move and can't do anything for the next 24 hours.
Kind of a stalemate. The snipers are kind of beating themselves up about their lack of skill, even though they were only, 30 centimeters off of a kill shot?
Right.
Yep.
So
if they'd made, like, Yeah. If they had been a little bit more accurate, they would have been able to kill him.
Well, what was it? One of them was a little slow, and the other one was a little inaccurate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so the group is now all back resting at the inn.
A lot of people are seeming very flushed and tired.
Well, it was also a big assassination.
And then,
Nakamura, the like hot girl that's been spending a weird amount of time with Nagisa, bumps into Nagisa, like all flushed and falling over. And then the porno guy starts vomiting blood, and so do a lot of other people.
Yeah.
That's where this got dark real fast.
Okay, now imagine reading this chapter, like, just like scrolling through, it's like, wait, what?
Wait, what?
That's the part I imagine might have confused you when, like, reading it as raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then, Karasuma gets a mysterious phone call.
For a chicken number.
Yes.
I guess they established there's not going to be a boat until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
And so like, they can't get to a hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a small clinic, but there's no doctors there. There's nobody else on the island except them.
Yep.
And the person on the phone says that he has poisoned the students. And the only way to cure this poison that's fatal is with the antidote that he has.
Yep. He's on the hotel on top of the mountain. And as a present, they can bring him Koro-sensei.
Yeah. So this had to have been someone that... Well, knew about this assassination plan, B, knew about Koro-sensei's perfect defense, and C, had access to the students.
So, I think this is either one of those top three assassins, or it's that gym teacher guy. Because it kind of looks like him.
Nah, because he has those scars on his face.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those assassins.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's not working on his own.
Yeah, and also it's established that the virus affects different people in different ways.
Yeah,
so like Nagisa and Karma are still totally fine.
Principal characters are still alive. Everyone else, like, dying.
Uh-huh.
I'm guessing this is going to be Karma's big redemptive moment. Considering he had that thing where he could have done a lot better on the test, but ended up doing a whole lot worse.
Huh.
This got dark fast.
Yeah, it really did. I didn't expect it to go in this direction.
I like where Assassination Classroom is going, and like, because I was wondering, like, where could you go after they failed their big assassination attempt?
Yeah.
And the key is introduce other villains.
Yeah. Who are now attacking the kids.
Yep. And Koro-sensei can't do anything about it because he chose a form that doesn't let him move.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm real excited. I hope we get, like, our, you know, six or seven important people taking on an actual assassin.
Or Karasuma and Irina have to solve this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet Irina's vomiting blood right now. She seems like the kind that would get taken out right away.
Yeah, this arc isn't about her.
I kind of wonder if the sniper people are going to come into play, you know, with the amount of time they spent beating themselves up this chapter.
I can see that.
I don't know. Like, I think that might be establishing that, like, they only messed it up because they were infected with this.
Oh, that's possible. The way I took it was that they were already, like, or they were hesitating because it's Koro-sensei.
Yeah, that could be it.
But it could also just as easily be the virus.
Yeah.
Also, it would be funny to see Karma, like, fuck up a professional assassin, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I bet it'll be Nagisa. Just slit his throat and be like, okay, we're done.
Yeah.
Just dress him up like a girl and deliver him to,
Everyone else is like, Jesus Christ, we were just gonna pay him.
He's like, did I do something bad?
It's like, you're holding his severed head. It's a trophy. What?
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if he doesn't want it, like... Maybe he's not actually trying to kill Koro-sensei, because if he could actually kill him, Karasuma wouldn't be against that.
I still think Shiro is really the one behind this, you know, the three missing assassins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm still not sure what his game is.
If it weren't for the scars, I maybe would have suspected, what's his name's son, the chairman's son.
Yeah.
looks way too built for that.
Well, yeah. Once you see those, then. But this would be the kind of plan he would engage in.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's been established as, like, that ruthless or bloodthirsty. But...
Well, they did just embarrass him and then subjugated him to his dad.
Yeah, that's true, but...
Okay, so next week, who do you think the main team is? Just, like, Nagisa, Karma, Science Girl, Terasaka?
I think just Nagisa and Karma.
I'm going to put my chips on Nagisa, Karma, Karasuma, and Irina.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
But you need to have a couple people in there that'll, like, get infected and, like, increase the tension. You know, like... a couple nameless people that'll be like, you know, oh god, we're running out of time. These people have collapsed now.
My first thought when all this happened was, oh man, the mangaka found a way to make this into a zombie genre arc. Which could still happen. And I think it would be funny if it did.
What, it turns out to be like a mind control virus or something?
Yeah. Makes you hyper-aggressive.
I think they're just busy vomiting blood.
Yeah.
It would have been a good opportunity regardless. Oh well. On to One Piece.
Yes.
Or Caribou something something, fuck it.
Yes.
Caribou's story may be over. Oh god.
Oh god, please be over.
So Sanji and Zoro were flashing... Or Zoro flashing back to him talking to Sanji about who's going to go to the ship. And Sanji says it should be him.
Yeah. He wants to save Nami.
Because he can fly.
Yeah. And so Zoro and Kinemon decide to go meet up with Luffy at the Colosseum, but they can't figure out how to get in.
Yep.
Yeah, they're just standing staring at a door going,
And Kinemon points out, hey, don't look suspicious, because they arrested me for that before.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, watching them from afar is...
Bartolomeo.
Yeah, Bartolomeo. I was blanking on his name. Who is fangirling out over Pirate Hunter Zoro-senpai.
Yeah. Yes. Not Kinemon, because he has no idea who he is.
Yeah. Like,
he hasn't read that far in the manga yet.
So then it cuts to Baby Five and Gladius, who I don't think we've ever seen before.
Nope, never showed up before.
And I guess Gladius is the like strategist because his entire plan was for Violet to capture Sanji and then take all his data from his head.
He's one of Pika's henchmen. We find out Pika being that like weird amorphous blob guy that was appearing on like walls and stuff a while ago.
Oh, so yeah.
When he gets really mad, his hair goes Super Saiyan and explodes out his hat.
Yeah, yep. I like it. I like that it actually is just like Super Saiyan.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm guessing he has some kind of like spike fruit, like a needle fruit or something like that.
I don't know. He's gear themed.
There was already someone with a needle fruit though.
Was there?
Yeah, back in Alabasta.
That does sound familiar. Oh was yeah, Miss Valentine's Day.
Yeah, she fought Nami.
Maybe this guy has, like, the hair gel fruit. I don't know.
Yeah.
So he says something kind of cryptic.
Maybe he's a hedgehog man.
Violet was able to see the Straw Hat ship coming from far away since the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then everyone, like, I guess Baby Five reacts.
Well, because she has the fruit that lets her see really far away.
Yeah. But why does he think this factors into her betrayal somehow?
I don't know. I think he's just saying, like, all he's saying is, like, she should have been able to see them last night.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't report to them that the Straw Hats were coming.
Right. So she saw Sanji way beforehand.
Yeah. Something was going on pre-meeting Sanji and getting protected.
Yeah. Right. She was already thinking about betraying them before then, which we kind of already knew.
Or I think what Imran's getting at is there a third party thing going on here?
Yeah. Or maybe like a double betrayal.
Anyway, Sanji's riding around with Violet on a toy horse, which is amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
And she explains that she can use her vision.
I wonder if that used to be a real horse, or if it was a person. The second is kind of horrifying.
Yet funny.
It's probably a person. I mean, that one dog was a person.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. The kid's
father.
Anyway, Violet explains that she can use her goggle fruit to, like, see through the eyes of animals, too. And so she can, like, take over birds and see the whole city.
It's like Geist.
Yeah.
So she sees the sun go and then sees lightning striking it and freaks out.
Because lightning struck the ship, not realizing that Nami can just sort of do that.
Yep.
Meanwhile, they're all just kind of beating the shit out of this lady while she's knocked out, which is kind of hilarious. Brooke, Chopper, Nami, and even Momonosuke are just, like, beating the crap out of her to make sure she's down.
I like how Brooke's weapon is insulting her by saying he doesn't even want to sneak a peek at her panties. He's damaging her emotionally.
Yeah.
And Nami's suggestion is maybe they should just take her to where Law is, because he wanted them to pick up Caesar.
Yeah. I don't think they realize the plan's actually gone sideways, have
they? Yeah.
No, because they haven't been able to talk to anyone.
I thought...
All they've heard from Law is to come pick up Caesar.
Yeah.
Which, that was a while ago, before situations changed. And Law was soundly defeated by Fujitora and Don Quixote.
Wait, the lady starts laughing about how Doflamingo probably had no intention of going through with it, and that he never stepped down as a Shichibukai.
Yep.
And then they just start beating her up again.
So, Law asked Doflamingo if he's actually a Tenryubito. He kind of explains that he was, but isn't anymore.
The answer is just kind of, sorta.
Yeah, maybe I'll tell you about it sometime.
And Doflamingo quickly changes the subject to how he needs to do something about the Straw Hats in Dressrosa. Because people have underestimated them before, and it's kind of not worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you kind of got to respect that, like, that he knows, hey, maybe I should make sure they're dead. And Fujitora points out that he heard thunder coming from the seas.
And he thinks it's a clear day, but he can't tell.
Yep. And Law puts together, hey, Nami can do that. So when Caesar comes out of the bushes begging for his heart back, Law plays tricks with him and says that he'd never really said that was Caesar's heart.
And so Doflamingo just immediately crushes it. Which would have been pretty funny if it actually was Caesar's heart.
Yeah.
I don't think he kills the person.
No.
No, a marine falls over in the background.
Yeah.
And then Law, at the slight bit of confusion, activates his room.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in the confusion, the Fujitora's gravity that was keeping Law down stops.
In the moment that the marine screams, it wavers for a split second, and Law escapes.
And he grabs Caesar and runs off. He's trying to distract Doflamingo from seeing the Sunny, because he knows if he sees them, he's going to go kill them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Law and Caesar are running through the forest, and Doflamingo is giving really close chase.
But the killer fish descend on the ship.
Yeah. Remember those?
They're a little too close to the island.
Yeah.
So Law's plan doesn't work because they're within our viewing distance for Doflamingo to see.
Mm-hmm.
So he runs at them, and before he can quite get to them, Sanji black kicks his attack away.
Yeah.
Says that nobody's going to touch his comrades.
Yeah. And everyone's celebrating Sanji being there.
Before that, I do love that everyone on the Sunny Go is just freaking the hell out of Doflamingo descending on them.
Yeah.
It's like, oh god, I mean, this is the worst thing that could ever happen.
The four of them barely took out Jorah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Sanji versus Doflamingo at the end, and everyone is so thankful.
Fighting over the water, no less. And Sanji can't fly. Unlike Doflamingo, who can.
Yeah.
Sanji can fly. He can do the leg thing.
Yeah, he can walk on air.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, then.
Wait, I thought he just did the thing that the CP9 guys did.
Yeah, isn't that, like, walking on air?
No, he just kicks really hard.
Oh.
And it shoots him into the air.
Okay, same difference.
Yeah. He can fly. So we're getting dangerously close to that territory of all shonen manga where people just are standing in the air for no reason.
We're gonna have Luffy and Super Saiyan Lucci up in the air just and everyone standing on the ground throwing Zenzu beans at him.
Yep. Well, at this pace that won't be for another 500 chapters, but
so I don't think Sanji's gonna beat Doflamingo. I'm gonna
what?
Go out of
finger.
I think he could get Doflamingo or ward him off.
Yeah.
Enough time for people to escape.
But Sanji's kind of the Chad of this series.
Well, he's not that bad.
He is a competent fighter.
Yeah, he's won fights. Plenty
he's
of
won
them.
Won fights.
But more often than not, he's the one getting taken out.
He's more like the, I'd put him on the level of Krillin.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Zoro the Vegeta?
I'd say Zoro's either the Vegeta or the Piccolo.
Okay, Piccolo's probably
Piccolo,
way better.
Yeah, definitely.
I think Zoro could take Doflamingo.
Probably. Zoro is not going to get to fight anyone this arc, yeah, at this rate.
I think that's part of the problem with making Zoro so powerful, is that he could pretty much solve most of these arcs.
I think Oda said, like, in a fight, Zoro could probably take Luffy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zoro follows Luffy because he believes in his ideals, not because he's weaker than him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Also, he's Luffy's one weakness is sharp objects and...
Sword man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
I like that... I really like that one panel of when Doflamingo sees Sanji coming, and you can see, like, Sanji charging up in his sunglasses.
Yeah, just blasting at him.
Yeah. That's
pretty cool. I just noticed in the last couple panels that we see Nami and company, Momonosuke turned into a dragon again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turned into a dragon when Doflamingo started coming down.
Yeah.
He just freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
He can fly, can't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no, he doesn't remember. He doesn't know how to fly. It was when, like, Doflamingo took control of him that...
Which I still haven't really explained, but I guess might come up soon.
Oh, yeah. That those two are, like, within 10 feet of each other?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If that ship tipped over, only Nami would survive.
That's true.
I get it. Good chapter.
Yeah.
Next week should be great. As long as Oda's not off.
I mean,
yeah,
we've got another couple of weeks before he takes another week off.
Yeah.
Yeah. He deserves it, though.
Yep. Good One Piece. I feel like we said that 5 times.
Yeah. We're trying to wrap up the podcast.
Yep. Hey, this has been your Thursday, October 3rd Jumpcast, guys. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
And we'll see you all next week.
I guess the solution would just be to send us the files, have us listen to them, and then just later, it's just like trading near fatal blows back and forth.
The tide, I guess?
I didn't say that. Oh, God.
What's going on?